All right, we're ready to go in our second hour here. Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Matt Rausch will be in studio with us for this second hour of the program to answer your questions. Rick Bright, just before you take off, we were having so much fun during the break playing with his drone. It's a Hubsan X4, right? That thing has to be... How big is that? That's just...
It's tiny. It fits in the palm of my hand. It's about 4 inches by 4 inches.
Wow.
And it's kind of... People tend to be fairly surprised when they get a look at it because it is so small. You think about a drone or a quadcopter or whatever, and you think of this kind of like big, old-fashioned type of radio-controlled device. And this thing is tiny.
Would you say that's safer for kids to play with than if you had a bigger one that could do some...
Well, it's safer in that it's smaller and the propellers are smaller, obviously. But, I would not recommend this for a little kid because it moves very quickly and you really need to have kind of
This is a dad's toy.
Yeah, that's right. try explaining that to the 5-year-old.
I was going to say, I'm thinking at least 12 years old, maybe more like 15.
Yeah. My 11-year-old can pilot it. But.
And keep it away from your cats. They will bat it right out of the sky.
Only this one may attack back.
Yeah, so thank you for letting me hijack this part of the show just because I had to talk about these because this really is my favorite gadget of the summer.
Yeah.
It's really kind of a step up from the little radio controlled helicopters that were kind of big stuff last year. Those are fun, but they barely maneuver.
And not very stable in high winds either.
And, you forget about taking them outside.
With these four propellers.
Saw the video. That was taken.
And we'll post that as well, by the way.
That is amazing.
Right. So this particular model comes in like 3 different flavors. One that has no camera, one that has an SD camera, and one that has an HD camera.
So the no camera is $35.
You can get it on Amazon for about $36.
That's the controller.
With the controller, with the quadcopter, with the battery,
that's
the whole kit.
Wow.
But you got to get the camera, right? Yeah,
well, it's definitely fun to monkey with the camera. And you pop a little micro SD card into the drone itself.
Yeah.
And it shoots 720p video.
I sure hope
with that it's $75.
Yeah.
I sure hope my
amazing.
Family's listening. Holidays are coming.
Holidays are coming.
This is what Dad wants.
This is going to be, I think a big product this year. And again, this is a great place to start for anyone who. Well, when I was a kid, I wanted nothing more than a radio controlled airplane or the like.
Oh,
but I didn't have hundreds and thousands of dollars to do this. This is $35.
Ed,
I still remember my. Yeah, I asked for an airplane. I got one of the ones with the 30-foot. No, 30-foot string.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you pour the little light, and then you get the propeller going, and it starts buzzing around, and then you get yourself dizzy after about 2 minutes.
You're turning a circle.
And you always mess up your finger trying to start it, too. I got my fingers bitten by those things.
Yeah, so spoil yourself this year. And
all
get
right.
One of these.
And
they're
we will
a blast.
Post a link to Hubsan so you can see what Rick's playing with there. We took a little video in studio here, but he's with some beautiful videos that are out there. The possibilities are just about endless, but you've got to take a droney of yourself. That's a selfie. Taken by your drone.
Okay? I'll take it. I'll post it.
All right, do that. Thanks.
Okay.
Rick Breda, thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.
All right, let's go right out to our first caller, Marilyn from Harper Woods. Hi, Marilyn. How are you doing, and how can we help you?
Well, I'm doing fine. I just wanted to know, I'm a senior in my 70s, and my husband the same.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike you, we're not very tech-savvy. We have an old desktop Dell with Windows XP, and we want to buy something simple to use, something that we can take down south with us.
Sure. You won't be able to travel with it. Good. Okay.
Either a tablet or a laptop is what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to spend a lot of money.
Right. I can understand that. Okay. You've given us some pretty good parameters. Guys, some quick thoughts going around the horn?
I like the iPad.
Yeah. Gary likes the iPad. For simplicity?
For something like that, I like the iPad.
Yep.
Now, I think my son has the Kindle. Loves it.
Yes. And by the way, prices... The
Kindle was like for $200.
Yes.
It's a third the cost.
The Kindle's going to be a lot cheaper.
Yes. So, Marilyn, the Kindle, Kindle Fire HD. I think it is.
Yeah, the Kindle Fire. My kids got those for graduation presents, and they like them. And mostly as a media device, though, is what they use it for.
Which means playing movies.
Yeah, watching movies.
Music.
Got it, playing games. Great.
Spotify for playing music.
They're great for
music.
Things like that. Now, if you want to do email, though, without a keyboard with any of these devices, you're going to have a little more of a challenge, Marilyn.
Okay, that's the one thing that we want. We want to be able to be in contact with email and we want to be able to go on the internet.
Well, you can do that with either of those devices.
That's right.
You can also buy the keyboard separately.
I would suggest that if you're going to do a lot of email. Mm-hmm. However, I don't have a keyboard with my iPad. I was going to get one, and before I got around to getting one, I just use voice commands. So instead of typing my emails, I just take and I use a little headset and I just talk into the headset.
That's a great point.
That's a very good point.
It's easier than typing for me.
The voice recognition software has gotten really pretty good. You really can speak an email.
How much money are we talking, though? I'm thinking that we just want to spend no more than $300.
Oh, you could easily get a Kindle Fire for that.
So you could get to an Google Android, and there's a couple really good ones out there, tablets. The iPad will be more expensive, mm-hmm. but if you're going to use voice commands, the Google voice command is better than the Apple. Apple works for me, but Google's better. Android's better.
I would go to one of the big box stores and touch and feel one of those items and see what form factor works for you, and then start thinking about price at that point. Take a look at the iPads. Don't even bother. I mean, you could get an iPad Pod Mini, but why?
Marilyn, you live in Harper Woods. I used to live there. You can go up Gratiot to, I think it's 15 Mile. Best Buy is up there. And just go in and get your hands on these things. See what feels good. See what looks good. You'll see a wide range of things up there. And just, I think that'll help you then, okay?
And think of voice.
Yep. Thanks so much for being with us, Marilyn. All right. Good question. Hey, back for more of them with Bill and Beth. Lines are open at 800-859-0957. One of the last two times that you folks here at WJR will be able to get a hold of us on a regular basis on this time on Saturday. Next week will be our last time you'll be able to directly call us. After that, you can always get to us by email, and we've got lots of emails that have come in. But that will be kind of like the basis for our answering questions coming on from then on. So right now, 800-859-0957 puts you in touch with Crystal Price, and she will line you up and get ready to be on the air with us. And let's go to Bill, who's down in Gros Isle, a beautiful place downriver. Bill, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Well, gentlemen, you answered some of the questions, I believe, with that last lady you had on there. But I also have some other ones for you.
Sure.
My wife and I were going to be leaving in about a month's time, possibly, for Florida. But we're not driving anymore. We're flying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I've got a big 17-inch laptop, which is heavier than get out.
Yes.
Yeah, and the 15-inch downstairs is XP. And I thought, oh, boy, this is bad news. So my wife is saying, oh, I'd like a tablet. I'd like a tablet. I like my son's got one.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, well, maybe we could look into something. And you're talking about voice recognition.
Yes.
Is this like Dragon?
It's a little bit like that dictation software. As a matter of fact, I think Nuance is a company that worked with Apple on it, I think.
That's right. Yes, they're actually even better than... if you remember Dragon, they were always leapfrogging between Via Voice and Dragon. Dragon was a little better, then Via Voice would come out with another one, and that would be a little better for a while until Dragon came out with the next upgrade. And now Nuance, I think, has eclipsed them all, and they're working with Google.
So what Gary said,
so it's getting better and better and better.
Bill, one of the things that Gary said to another caller was that Google has really done a great job with voice recognition. Eddie, have you worked with any of these things with voice recognition, you know, dictating things to them?
Not so much. I mean, I used to have legal staff and secretarial staff that would want to use it, but they spent so much time training
it. You did have to train it.
And I loved this saying that Gary had, because he would say, oh, they have 94 or 96% accuracy. And he would go, that's still just 9 out of 10 words.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's great.
Yeah, Matt, how about you? Have you used it? You're a writer.
I haven't used it to write. I'm still pretty quick enough on the keyboard. But for email, especially for texting, mm-hmm. For posting stuff on social media, I mean, it works really well.
And
if you enunciate somewhat clearly, mm-hmm. it really does pick up just about everything you need it to.
You do have to learn a little bit, and you do train it.
And there's two things from my experience on this, Bill, by the way. One is that It has become extremely easy for short messages.
Short messages.
I use it for email and for other things like that. If I'm going to write a big, long article, obviously, I don't use it for that. But what I also found is you want to very carefully proofread what it says you said.
Because it'll guess.
Yeah, there are some hilarious.
There are some very funny websites, with the text message fails. Yeah.
Right. Somebody may say, Grandpa, did you really mean to say that?
it'll guess.
I recommend that then probably to avoid the possibilities of having a problem with the voice recognition situation is to purchase an independent keyboard that would
Have that along as well. But I'm trying to convince my wife to do this. When you're sending an email, a note, like a short message that's not probably 100 characters, or a short email to somebody, or you're on Facebook and you're responding, hit the microphone button, say what you have to say, and then correct it, and boom, you're done. So I would use it for short things. Right. But I would also say, if you get a tablet, get a keyboard, and then, as Ed said, get to a big box store like a Best Buy or Micro Center. You're down Groseal. I don't know what's down river.
I got one down in the Southgate Center.
There you go.
Yeah. So now the one thing I have in front of me right now, I have a Surface. They call it a tablet. I use it as part of I use it for my personal computer.
Right.
And I also have an iPad. And people say, well, why do you still carry two? They are different.
Yes.
So even though today I have, because I have Office 365 Personal Edition, I have, my whole family has Office 365. I can get all of my Office applications right on my tablet. If I use Word or Excel or PowerPoint, one of those applications, you can kind of use it on the tablet, but not really. You really need the Surface.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, the Surface is much more like a real computer.
It is. That's what I use it for.
It sounds like a keyboard. It would definitely be a thing.
Yes, I think you want to have that along with the tablet. And then I think you're going to have a ball with it. You're going to have a ball on the plane, load a movie in there, watch it on the plane, have a good time, and then make sure it's fully charged. You know, that kind of thing.
Okay, that's okay. pardon me. How long will a charge on a battery last, say, like if you're going on a flight someplace? And
Mac, what do you think? You've taken some?
Well, for my iPad, I use it for 3 days without a charge.
Okay.
Depends
on what you're doing during that time, too.
Yeah.
But I use it fairly extensively, 10 hours.
Okay. Yeah, how long does the Surface charge last for you? Is that the 10 hours you're talking about?
No, or? Surface, because I use it a lot.
Yeah.
I'll go all day, but
I'll
use 6-7 hours on the
Surface. Okay.
That sounds
about right.
About the same thing.
Yeah, just about any place you'd want to fly, it'll last that long.
Okay, so you can watch a movie. My wife and I, we're both up in our middle 80s and better.
That's fine.
And I don't know, buying something else might seem a little obtuse, but she's got, because my son has a little small iTablet, and she just said, oh, God, I got it.
I think you'll love it.
The one thing you might want to do is you might want to buy a tablet with a USB port, and that'll mean you probably can't go to the iPad. You probably have to go to a Google tablet or Android tablet.
We're talking brand names here.
Right. Well, this is an Android tablet by Google, and there's a lot of
Samsung has some
and a number of others.
Just go to that Southgate and get into a Best Buy. Look around, have the salespeople help you.
And the reason that I'm going to suggest that is because you'll be able to put in a wireless monitor, and that might be very helpful because these are small screens.
Okay, fantastic. Okay.
All right, Bill.
What kind of ballpark figure are we talking on this situation, sir?
Three to four hundred.
Maybe another 100 for the monitor or something.
Okay. For the keyboard, et cetera. Okay, Bill? Yep.
Oh, yeah, you guys are fantastic. I'm sorry to hear we're not going to be able to talk to you anymore.
Well, what happens
not
with
regularly.
With the sports season going on, every now and then we break through the clouds, but we will continue to do the podcast every week, and you can all still listen to us that way. So I really appreciate you being
with
us.
And then when you go to Florida, you can listen to us, too.
Yeah, right. And, after Michigan State wins the Rose Bowl again and then wins a Big Ten basketball championship again.
He's saying this for my benefit, by the way.
And then they'll be back every Saturday.
Now, Bill, I was going to say to Bill, if he's going to buy his wife a tablet, he gets a Hasban, quadcopter.
Oh, yes.
He gets to buy him, you buy your wife something.
By the way, that is Hubsan, which is very close to husband. I just want to say. It's very close to Okay.
Thanks.
Let's go to Ben, who's been waiting for us patiently here. Ben, how you doing out there?
I'm doing pretty good.
How you do? Hey, what can we do for you, Ben?
I've got a camera. It's a Sony camera that takes little movie clips or whatever, or something. I don't know what you call them, but it puts an extension on it of MOV.
Yes.
Yep.
And I'm wanting to know if there's a way I can reduce the size of that for when I put it on my website. Mm-hmm. And also, if I can add two of them together.
First of all, the first question is, I believe you can change it.
It's probably the same software. Yeah. And you'll need to buy a little software application if you don't have one already on your computer. Most computers today come with either iMovie or with, what's the one that comes with the Microsoft?
So
I use CyberLake.
Windows Media Player?
Windows Media Player.
Okay. Windows Media Player.
Now, what I use is any video converter.
Yes,
that'll convert anything.
You can take the MOVs. What do you take them to? The MP4?
I could do MP4s, but what's nice about it, I can also suck down YouTube videos for it.
Right.
Very good. But, I mean, the MP4 is a smaller file.
Yes.
And I use CyberLink, which is great, and it's only like $50.
And there's a lot of shareware almost freeware out there to do this for you.
Ben, hang on a second. We're going to talk when we come back and share a little bit more about that, because I think you've asked a very good question, one that we want to answer a little more depth. We'll be back with Ben in just a moment. And we've also got Tom, Allison, and Bill out there. We'll get to you in just a moment as we continue with the Internet Advisor. I want to thank our engineer who is learning the ropes here, and thank you very much, Steve Stetz, for being here with us. And also, sitting in for Annie is Crystal Price. Thanks so much, Crystal, for the great job you do there. By the way, folks, what you heard us talking about the fact that you won't be able to call in live starting in September. That's because of Michigan State University football and basketball. Well, probably until the spring is when we come back regularly live for you WJR listeners. But for the rest of you who are listening to us on our affiliates and those of you who receive our podcast, we're here every week doing 2 hours of program. So please do know that. And you can send us your question via email at that time. All right, let's go back out to our old friend who is Ben in Adrian. Ben, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Now, Ben, you asked about having movies that you take that are .mov. That's what's on the camera you've got. That's the file that it records in.
Yes.
You asked both about...
And that's a QuickTime file extension.
Yeah. Right. You're asking how do you make them in a smaller file and programs. And so, guys, let's go around the horn with the programs we've come up with.
I like CyberLink. You pay a little bit for it, but it comes with some great capabilities, and it's easy to use. It's very straightforward.
Mac and or Windows?
Both.
One. Yep. And that's what's the price point?
Mostly Windows, I believe. It started there, but they now have a Mac version. You can get it for as little as about $50, and then with some add-ons and some other capabilities, it goes up to about $75.
Okay. Eddie, what about you?
Two that I've used for a long time are any video converter, okay, and I've used that when I used to even have a BlackBerry. It converted BlackBerry videos, which used to be proprietary, and they converted to MOVs or MP4s or anything I wanted, or AVIs. And the other one that I've used off and on, and it's the one my wife uses because she's familiar with it, is UrfanView. UrfanView also supports
free.
I also forgot supports, about that one. I've used that in the past.
Yeah.
Great.
UrfanView also supports the ability to edit videos.
Yeah. Excellent. That's IrfanView, and it's free. And then the Matt, something you've used?
Well, yeah, any video converter freeware. That has the advantage of being free. It's available. It's available on CNET. It's pretty highly rated, and it's very easy to use. And the great thing about it is they aren't kidding. It really is any video converter. I mean, if it'll convert BlackBerry, geez, that is it.
I've used both iMovie on a Mac, which I have, and also QuickTime. But QuickTime Pro has a lot of advantages to it, and that's why I bought that. That's $30. And then you asked about changing the file format. One of the recommendations you had, Gary, was...
Well, you edit initially...
In the larger format.
And then you can convert to anything.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you really can.
Then edit, Ben. Edit first, then convert. Oh. And bring it down to like an MP4 or a WMV
file. You just got to be careful if you test what you convert, because if you convert it down too small and then try to blow it up and watch it on television, it's not going to look very good.
Okay, Ben?
You know, and I don't have the proper computer here, because I used to have all of these downloaded to my computer.
All right, go ahead.
what's the proper file that I should convert to that it's smaller?
Well, smaller, what are you going to be watching it on? I guess that's
good
the
question.
Is it going to be a TV, high-def TV, or a computer?
No, on a computer. What I want to do is upload it to my website so other people can download it and view it. And I'm going to assume most of them are going to be on computers.
Yeah, I would suggest MP4.
I would say, too.
That's a compression rate.
The other thing you can do is you can upload it to YouTube and just put a link from your website to the YouTube.
Excellent. Okay, Ben?
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, and they'll do the compression and conversion for you.
There you go. They do all the heavy lifting.
You know, my wife does is that she does. She uploads some videos, if they're small enough, to Facebook, and Facebook does the same thing.
Yeah.
Depends what social media. If you're into YouTube,
right.
Or if you're into Facebook.
Very good.
So my son, I do the videotaping for his lacrosse games, and I'll upload it to YouTube, and anybody can get to it from any place, and that's a really nice thing.
These are very
and
good
then
points.
He he did a highlight video and put it on YouTube as well.
See, that way too, you don't have to worry about the compression ratio. And having the best format, they'll take care of that for you, Ben.
What about the quality when it gets reduced like that then?
As long as you don't reduce it and then load it, just go ahead and load it in raw form. They'll take care of all the compression.
And it's pretty simple. I mean, if you have a Gmail or a Google email account, then you can log into YouTube. You can upload a test video.
Yep.
And then
very
keep it
point.
Private for yourself, so only you can view it.
That's right.
And then play around with it. There's high def versions of it, you can manipulate. And they also provide the ability to edit it once you've uploaded it.
I love that.
So you can upload multiple video streams and then edit them together.
So YouTube, if I keep it private, I have to list all the people that can get to it. If I do an unlisted version, right? Because there's three. There's public, unlisted, or private. If I just do unlisted, then I can provide a link to anybody. They can send it on to somebody else and they can get to it. But there's no way somebody's going to get to what you have posted in unlisted format, because there's no way with their little compression format for their URL, for the address, anybody's going to figure it out. And it's not searchable.
Okay.
Okay, Ben?
Okay. Okay, sounds good.
Happy movie taking, Ben. Thank you so much.
And that's it. Sometimes you really have to find out what is it you're trying to accomplish.
To that's a very good question. Yeah,
because he came in with a preconceived idea of what he needed.
Yep.
And he might have an idea to use to YouTube now, and I think that's a great idea.
I think it's even better letting them do the heavy lifting.
Right.
And their objective is to do it in the best format to be seen online.
They have so many different codecs. It's called a codec. It's compression, decompression, right, is what codec stands for. And they have all these codecs, and they'll use the best one for your video.
Yeah, right. that's the...
And I use sports video, so that's the most important is to get the codec right.
Right, and that's what all this cloud stuff was supposed to be about, right? Making
that's
sure
correct.
You didn't have to have software on here.
Exactly. Right.
Very good. So
good
save
point,
all the expenses on that. All right, let's go to Bill from Lincoln Park. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you, Bill?
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Yep.
I have recent heard about a cell phone. I'm thinking about getting one. That's OnePlus One. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I have. Just heard reviews of it. Matt, you're not...
I have not. Nope.
Any of the other guys?
It equals two. I don't know.
OnePlus One is a Chinese brand. Somebody looked it up while I'm doing
right.
this. I think it's a Chinese brand, and I had heard some concerns about it. But go ahead. That's what you're thinking of buying?
Thinking of, yeah. I didn't know if you guys would have a review on that or not, but what I'm finding is where to buy it locally. If you buy it through them, mm-hmm. you have to have a Facebook or Twitter or some other account like that, and then you put their thing on your account where people will be able to see so they get free advertising. So you can get one. You can get one for $299 mm-hmm. if you get their invite to buy from them,
mm-hmm.
and or you that's the 15. Gigabytes of the one kind of memory.
I got you.
I'm looking for HTC has one, and I think That's right. From
nope,
AliPress, it's
wrong called OnePlus.
No, HTC One. Oh, this is just look up OnePlus.
Yeah, OnePlus One. It's reviewed on CNET here. I'm looking at it now. The headline, I just want to warn you, is a high-end smartphone for Android experts. So I don't know if you consider yourself an Android expert, but it says that the Android-based it's a CyanogenMod mod operating system isn't very stable at the moment, is what it says. It's one of the year's better Android phones on paper, is what CNET calls it. That's a pretty reliable review source. So I'm just curious, how did you hear about this phone and what attracts you to it?
I don't know where I came across it. Might have been some review on CNET or somebody.
Well, $300 for a smartphone, I think, would attract anybody's attention.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
And that's if you get their invite. And that's with 15 gigabytes.
Yeah, storage.
Memory.
That's a lot.
Well, then for another about $50, you get 32 gigabytes.
Which is a lot.
Yeah. So you have the basic, I think it's 3 gigabytes of whatever that kind of memory is. And then, and so.
Yeah, RAM. It's
so for $350, you got yourself a powerful machine.
Yep.
And, but what they're planning on doing is getting it on the open market. It's beginning to get there. And where you end up paying $100 more, I'd rather go through that than I don't want Facebook and all this other jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And you wait to get a, or if somebody else gets one, then they get the little tickets that they can give to their buddies. And I'm just not into that.
No, I agree with you.
Well, the other thing is, how much is, if it is a phone, what's the charges per month? I mean, if the phone is so cheap.
You buy it outright, and then you can go anywhere with it, I guess.
Right.
Well, that's it. Is it locked into an AT&T carrier
nope.
or a Verizon
no.
carrier? No. Or it actually supports both bands?
It doesn't say that it supports both.
Unlocked.
Yeah, but it's unlocked. But is it GSM
or yes,
or the
it's
other one?
Actually, it's both. Yeah. Actually, it's both.
Okay.
It's so you can use it on either one. I'm looking at the specs
HPSI right now. HPSI or GSM?
Excellent. Yeah. Well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
What does that mean to me? I don't.
It means more carriers you can use with. We're going to have to stop here with it, Bill. But I'll put you on hold and see if we can
we'll
give
take
you some
it
more
offline.
Advice. Okay. Yep. Back in just a minute. I'd like to thank Matt Rausch, who was with the Engineering Society for Detroit, for sticking around. Matt's been a barrel of laughs.
Yeah, it has been fun. Thanks.
Hasn't it been fun?
I appreciate the opportunity.
Hey,
we're going to have to have you back.
What big things going on with the Engineering Society?
Well, we're swinging back into our fall event schedule. We operate almost like a school does. We have a July to June fiscal year, so our programs start up again in the fall. The one I'd like to mention, if you're looking for technical staff, engineers, that kind of thing, if you're an employer that has jobs to offer, our 2014 Fall Engineering and Technology Job Fair is November 10th at the Suburban Collection Showplace in Novi, and we're still looking for exhibitors for that. And if you're interested in landing a job, the Spring Tech Fair, we had 53 companies offering more than 2,000 engineering and technology jobs. So
excellent.
Jobs are out there.
And the Engineering Society of Detroit is partnering with the governor.
Yes.
Governor Snyder. And we now don't call it the Michigan Cyber Summit as we did the last 2 years. We're now calling it the North American International Cyber Summit.
And that is November 17th.
Wow. Thank you. And I'm involved with that, too. So excellent. I chair the business track.
We'll be talking much more about that as we go forward. Right. Eddie has got something special to tell us about the toolkit. We're going to do that in just a moment. Let's go back to our phone lines, make sure we get Allison on the air here. Allison, welcome to the Internet Advisor, and how may we help you?
Yes, I was wondering if... I'm from Saline, Michigan, by the way. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yes. Love
it.
Beautiful, beautiful place to south of Ann Arbor.
Living in Ann Arbor, I'm very familiar. So.
Yes. I was wondering if people are getting Windows 8, what antivirus program do you recommend? Wasn't there like a court thing where Microsoft wasn't going to support Security Essentials anymore?
Well, but Eddie, maybe you can straighten that out because he's been looking into this.
I have? No. I mean, remember the court case. I remember that Microsoft was in trouble for including an Internet Explorer or an embedded browser. And
that
I would
a long
imagine.
Long ago.
But I also imagine that because they included an integrated antivirus, that they would also get into court trouble in Europe. Okay.
Not here.
So much here in the United States. But I'm speculating on that because there wasn't a problem with embedded Internet Explorer issue. It was only in Europe.
Yeah.
You know, those Swedes, you know, those Germans.
So I would recommend Microsoft Security Essentials.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
well,
Microsoft
it's part
integrated.
Of it.
It's
the embedded antivirus within Windows 8 is superior than many. But unfortunately, what happens is many of the manufacturers, you know, I can go into HP, Toshiba, Lenovo, they're paid to put other brands in there. So you may get McAfee on there, Norton.
Kaspersky, I know they were pushing for a while.
Right. Yep. Kaspersky. Yep. You know, and they'll give you your free 30 or 60-day trial, but once that goes out, then they start peddling the yearly subscriptions.
The one nice thing about the way Microsoft does it is it'll take some of the definitions from Norton, from Symantec, and it'll take definitions from many of the other providers. So you'll basically get a superset of those definitions, and that's really the you want to make sure that whoever you use can catch as close to the zero-day virus as possible.
So we'd say this, I think, probably, Allison.
That's what I use.
Right? Generally speaking, the folks at Microsoft have got one of the best of the...
Because they use everybody else's.
Yeah, they use everybody else's. But Microsoft Security Essentials was built into Windows 7, was worked with perfectly with Windows 7. It's free, and now it's become Windows Defender within Windows 8.
That's the new name.
That's a new name for it, but it's there free for you. Now, we would recommend, I think, probably, Ed, that on top of that, Allison, you also download Malwarebytes. And that would be an antivirus kind of a tool. That's
anti-malware.
Anti-malware, rather. Yep.
I had Kaspersky with Windows 7. I had to get rid of it because Norton and Kaspersky, some of these are resource hogs.
Yes, being a resource hog is, by the way.
And they fight each other, too.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing,
you only want one.
And the beautiful thing with Windows Defender is you don't get that battle. You don't get that resource hogging.
That's right. I mean, it's been optimized to work with Windows 8, and a lot of the antivirus vendors are kind of... upset with Microsoft that Microsoft did not release the libraries or the DLLs, hidden DLLs, that it would allow them to be as integrated and as fast providing protection. You know, Microsoft has done that quite a bit. I mean, they're not hidden, but they're not going to release their, you know...
That's
their secret sauce, yes.
So, Allison, you've got a good... If you've got a Windows 8 machine, you're very well protected right now. We would suggest, however, Malwarebytes to help you on top of that.
Yeah, right. Maybe a combo fix, too.
Yep.
Now, how do I get in contact with you? Because I know that this is your last time before the sports start up.
Well, next week will be our last time, but you can always do it by email. For you, Allison, and for everybody else listening, on our homepage there's a Contact Us button.
But especially for you.
Just hit that Contact Us button and then put your email address in there and your question, and we'll get to you as soon as we can then, okay?
And we'll actually take and call a few people back and say, can we put you on the air?
Yeah, that's fun.
So so we will do that as well.
All right, let's see if we can get some answers here also for Tommy, who's out there in Forest Creek. Hi, Tommy, how are you doing, and what can we do for you?
Oh, well, thank you for your help. I've got a Toshiba laptop with Windows Vista Service Pack 2, and when I start it up, it will go through the setup, the Toshiba setup screen, so the F2 for setup, goes past that, and if I don't keep hitting the F8 key to go to safe mode, it'll just I'll just get a high-pitched tone coming out of it, and it'll just sit there and do that all day.
Okay, and just out of curiosity, so when it in safe mode, it does work?
Yes, I catch it at the right time. Otherwise, it goes right to starting Windows normally.
Right,
and then it'll work, and it'll run all day.
Okay. I'm sorry, it'll run all day in safe mode, or it'll run all day in...
It'll run all day in regular Windows.
Okay.
And don't you want that?
Wait, I believe you meant, Tommy, that it will not actually run in Windows. It keeps that high-pitched tone going, right?
No, the high-pitched tone will quit. If I catch it just right... Otherwise, if I don't catch it, it'll just sit there and you'll have that high-pitched tone and a black screen. That's it.
Okay, so that's what he's saying, Ed. That'll, if he doesn't catch it just right, he can't get to Windows.
I guess I'm not understanding. So when you power up your computer, it just gives a tone, and that's it. But when you tap F8 and you tell it to go into either safe mode or normal mode, it works properly? So I'm missing something.
Usually I don't see that screen that says, do you want to go into safe mode or whatever? It'll blink through there, and it'll go right to Windows normally.
Okay, and that's normal.
And that's what you want, right?
Well, I would like, but if I don't hit the F8 key, I don't ever get past that tone. I get that tone, and that's it.
He's saying he has to hit the F8
key. Oh, okay, you have to hit the 8 key. And that I'm not sure of.
Wow, I've not heard that.
Are you sure you don't have a stuck key, like an F2 key or... An F12 key?
Did anything ever get spilled?
Well, it could be. How do I find out?
Has anything ever been spilled on
the F2? No, I hit the F2 and gone to setup.
Okay. As I say,
the boot system and everything else, and that was everything looked normal.
Have you tried a different keyboard with it, maybe?
No, I haven't.
We're suspecting the keyboard because of the way that you're describing this. But I tell you one
thing.
Well,
the other thing it could be, I'm just thinking of this off the top of my head, try to go into setup and then change the boot order. Make sure that your hard drive is the first device because, I mean, usually it's USB and then your CD-ROM or DVD drive. And then your third drive would be, your C drive, your standard hard drive. On some computers when they ship, you may see something in there called Network Boot or Pixie. PIXI, like pixie dust. Mm-hmm. And if by chance the pixie or the network boot has been moved to number one, it will sit there and then it'll try to boot off of the network. And I'm just wondering if that's not might causing some problems. I don't know why you would be getting a tone. Check the boot order
in
your setup.
We're gonna look into that ourselves
and
as
then,
well.
And also then email us.
Yeah, email us. But also check the Toshiba website for a BIOS update.
That's it. Okay, Tommy. So check the Toshiba website for a BIOS update and then email your problem to us and we can take a little more time.
Advisors@internetadvisor.net.
Or simply go to contact us and you can put your question.
Yeah, internetadvisor.net is our website.
Yep. Hey, thank you very much, all of you, very much for being with us here. If you'll hang on the line just a second, Al, we'll get to you after we get off the air here. For the rest of you out there, thank you for being with us so much. We're going to wrap up the season here of our live shows on WJR this coming week, so please do be with us. It's going to be a great program. We're going to be talking about the Techonomy Conference that's coming to Detroit and looking ahead to a great fall here in the new Motor City.